Name of Jesus. Good to be here with you. And on Monday night a week ago, we were together with my Esther, is along to my wife, and we were together, and I told her siblings, I don't have to go to the U.S. this month in April. January, February, March, I was going, I don't know how many times, but be that as it may, I said, we can stay at home. 8 o'clock, the brother calls him in the morning. Oh, no. Half an hour later, another brother calls me from Pennsylvania for the fall. Well, that one I could really say no because I knew already my plans anyway. But another brother told me recently, God must have been smiling when you said that on Monday night. You know, God has a plan that we don't know of. Yeah. And, I just know that I'll never replace Brother Art Nault. But we're all different. And it's good we are. God likes different people. You know, that's how come there's no inferiority problems in the church, right? Because God likes you as you are tonight. Beautiful. He loves you just as you are. And so anyway, I can't take his place, but we have the same word. And that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. My wife said in the way here that we'll be the oldest people here tonight. And now I think that has changed a little bit. But the younger ones can say amen too. You know, if you're feel free to do that. What are revival meetings for? Brother already touched on that. Number one, it's to bring life to the spark that is left. You know, if there's something within you, your love for Jesus Christ, the revival meeting should enhance and get that flame burning bright again and bring you to a relationship with the Holy God. The scripture says in Revelation 2:5, it says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. You know, tonight we can get back to a fresh relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two, these meetings should show to the unconverted they're lost. You know, I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts in Revelations 2:23. Reins means the mind. You know, I don't know where you're fit in here tonight, if you're saved or unsaved. But God knows where you're at. And he knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're doing. Yes, he does. Number three, meetings like this should encourage the saints to keep the faith. You know, we're living in perilous times. Perilous times. And if you don't realize that, well, just step outside your boundaries a little bit. Just travel between here and Canada, you know, or up to our place when I say that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of many is nowadays, but exhorting one another in so much more as ye see that day approaching. Number four, these meetings should bring a glorious hope of a future with Jesus Christ. That it should be within each one of you tonight to look forward to the day when we can meet Jesus Christ in person, the day of all days. What a day that will be. What a glorious day. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21:7. Isn't that wonderful? And that should be our hope tonight, dear people, as we're pressing on the homeward way. Sister Joyce, Ronald's wife, I think we would have known her from Yehigh, possibly. I don't know. It's been a lot of years. A lot of years we would have known that Hess family and all of those around there. But it's good to know you's here and get to know you better. Tonight I want to give you at the end of the service, we'd like to have an invitation hymn. My policy is if you lead a horse to the water, that doesn't mean your horses when I say that. But when you lead a horse to the water, you should give him a chance to drink too. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life, but I want to be free when I leave. You know, that is my policy. To those song leaders, try to sing the same song every night. It's not a time to learn new songs in an invitation. That is my firm belief. Because that can distract from the working of the Holy Spirit. The quote for the evening is, religion is man searching for God. The gospel is God searching for man? You know, isn't that a big difference? And I also like to have a theme song. Now, I'm going to quit with my commercials soon. We'll also have a theme song, and you can have that with the first two songs that you sing. It'll be song 569 in Sion's Praises, and you might wonder why that is. Come every night, and you'll find out why I've chosen that song. Sion's Praises 569. And at the end of the service, I hope, if I don't forget, sometimes I'm scatterbrained, to give you a chance to testify. Give a testimony. You don't have to get up and say, oh, that was a poor message or that was a good message. But what is your relationship with God? You know. And I always say, if you can't testify in church, you likely won't testify on the sidewalk out here either. This is the place where we should be open one with another. This is the place where we should be able to confess where we've transgressed with each other. And it brings a brotherhood to prayer, brings a brotherhood to a close relationship, and we lift up each other's arms on the homeward stretch. Yeah, I want to give you that chance to do that. Shall we sing? 569 in Sion's Praises, one verse, two verses, three verses, whatever you feel led. We have a great God, don't we? Just had a thing there Monday night at home. All of a sudden, I got this headache and this sinus problem and starting to get a chest cold. And yesterday was not a good day for me. Not a good day. You know, I didn't feel too rosy. But I had to think back to when I was in Nebraska for a week of meetings. And towards evening, I was getting sick. I mean, I was sick. But I said, Lord, I'll gladly sit back and let somebody else preach it in more eloquent terms and however it's done, you know. I don't have to preach. But if you want to want me to preach, you'll have to take care of it. So as I was waiting for the other couple to come and take us to church, I got outside the house and I went right into the flower bed with this stuff. And got in the car, I didn't feel good. The closer we came to church, the better I felt. And I didn't feel quite as robust, but nobody would have caught on that I was sick. You know, the Lord is a great God. As we were going home that night, a mile or two from home, I said, roll that window down. I did not feel good. Stepped out of the car, and the same flowers got the same works again. You know, pity the flowers, I realized. But I guess you want me to preach that now. Yeah. And that's the beauty of God tonight. We can depend upon a God in many, many different areas. Yeah. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we come to you tonight in the precious name of Jesus. We are holy. You're awesome tonight, Lord. You're the only one that deserves to be called awesome of your righteousness and your holiness. And Lord, help me tonight to understand you better. Lord, I need you. As we look into the beauty of the Word of God again, and these souls before me tonight are here because I believe they have a desire and a love for you. And Lord, that it could, this meeting tonight, could bring forth worship and adoration to a holy God of who you are and of what you want to do yet in each one of our lives. May your name be blessed and praised and adored. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Years ago, we got a flyer in the mail, and it said, born again, and with every kilometer you shall be too. It was embracing a new series, car series, and you enter into a relationship. You push the start button, and you bring to life a new generation of engines, which boast increased power and fuel efficiency. Born again. Powerful term. You're talking about a car, though. A car that soon needs maintenance, whatever else. What a false term to use for a car. But it got people's attention. Tonight, the title of my message is, Saved from What? A question you'll have to answer. We know John 3:16 tonight, and it says there that, for God so loved the world, that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A beautiful verse, and you can go to any evangelical church across North America, and they embrace that verse because it's dear to their heart. Everlasting life. Just believe in Jesus Christ, and then you can have everlasting life. People like life. People like everlasting life. People in general like this verse, and others like Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Acts 16, 31, it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And we know that evangelicalism embraces these words. It brings such a comfort to know that man doesn't have to perish, but can have everlasting life. Just believe in the Lord and be saved. I have an old Webster's dictionary at home where it says what believe means. It means to leave and to live. I'll repeat that. Believe means to leave and to live. In order to live, we need to leave the past. First, we need to see that we're lost. And I believe in our Anabaptist circles. We have people sitting in our churches that have the right words. We have our own schools. We have Sunday schools. And we have everything. And it's good. I'm not saying that's wrong. But tonight, dear people, we have people growing up in our settings that can say the words, I believe. But they haven't left. And they aren't living the victorious Christian life. That's right. Yeah. It's more than just saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. It means leaving your past sin behind. Put under the blood. Repent ye therefore, and be ye converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 3:19. Man believes a lot of things tonight. Even the ungodly man believes a lot of things. Take evolution for example. How that they say that from a big bang, you know, millions of years ago, we descended finally from monkeys. The more complicated it seems, the more ready fallen nature tries to believe it. But they don't have to leave their sinful past. And they're not living for the best to come either. This evening, I believe in men that lived in the past. I believe that there was a Stalin that killed 50 million people in Russia. I believe there is a Hitler that was the cause of millions and millions of people dying. I believe that there was a Saddam Hussein, and go on and on and on of these people that are out there. I never met them though. But I believe there is a person like that. And I also believe that they were no help for me or nor for society. So what is the proof? Turn with me to Acts 8, verses 5 to 25. This is when the gospel was preached in Samaria. Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 25. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wandered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And when they had testified and preached of the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Philip here was preaching Jesus Christ. And we know the miracles that followed here. And in this city, Simon used magic, and he astonished many people. In our day, if you're a trickster, can do magic, you have a great following, you know. That's in our day. Anyway, it says, the facts here in verse 10, it says, all of that city was following Simon. People elevated this man simply by his miracles. And there are churches full tonight across North America Because they have eloquent preachers, and they can do a lot of different things, and they can get squeeze money out of the people, whatever else they may do. Yeah. But they don't have the Lord. Because their works show that it is not of God. Simon was doing this for a long time. And this was captivating with his witchcraft. But Philip preached the word of God, and they believed. And isn't that the wonder tonight yet of it all? That people, whether they were in witchcraft, whatever it were they were in, when they heard the gospel message, God searching for man, that they responded. And the wonder of it all, they were baptized. Even Simon was baptized, or he says he believed, and he was baptized. In verse 13, though, Simon wanted to be where the crowd was. And I believe Simon, you know, this was his nature. He loved the people that he could mesmerize before. And so he was looking on of what John and Peter were all doing and so forth. And he watched. And you know, when they preached the word of God and when they laid the hands on these people, something happened there that was astonishing to Simon. Something that Simon thought he could, if he could grab a hold of that, that would be wonderful. That would be an asset to him. He liked where the crowd was. He watched and he was amazed at all the miracles and the signs that took place, you know. In fact, in the end times, in Revelations there, it speaks of about the Antichrist coming upon this earth, or being born on this earth and doing miracles. And why do people, would people follow a man like that? Because, well, even Mennonites, you know, sometimes we can go to water witching, all kinds of things tonight, because it works. Just because something works doesn't make it godly. We have to go into the Word of God tonight. Search it out. What is truth tonight? Pilate said of old too. Simon watched. And this intrigued him. For after all, that was his profession of manipulating the crowds. That was where he made his livelihood in the past. And when Peter and John came and laid hands on these people, they also received the Holy Ghost. Then things really start to happen, dear people. You can do a lot of things beforehand. You can fit into the Mennonite church if you wish. Well, tonight I'll pick on the Mennonites because I'm with Mennonites. The other week I was with Beachy, so then I could pick on them. No, I don't pick on anybody. The Holy Spirit has to do that, the convicting. But Simon saw something here. Yes, he believed in Jesus Christ. He maybe have seen him personally. He could have like they possibly seen the miracles. And so he believed that there was Jesus Christ. He was baptized because the others were also doing it. Maybe it's a certain age. You know, I came from a setting in my horse and buggy days that if you are 17, 18, possibly 19, parents would push you a little harder. It's time to join the church. That was sort of the age for a lot of people to join church. Tonight, dear people, you don't join church, you're born into it. You're born into the body of believers. And I realize we can flip the other coin and we can have child evangelism in our Mennonite circles. That's another question in itself. I won't touch on that long. You know, just drilling fear into them because God doesn't like you. Yeah. Children in their innocency, parents have to take care of that guilt for them, that they're free until the Holy Spirit works in them. Yeah. It's enough of that for tonight. Yes, Simon saw a change in these people that he thought would benefit his pocketbook. Because if a person is born again, if you are born again tonight, there will be a change in your life. There will be. There will be a change in your life. It will be. But he offered them money to buy into this franchise, as it were. If Simon could mesmerize the people before with his magic, now it would be so much better with the Holy Ghost. Do you get it? Yeah. That's not how it works, though. If he could give the people the power to live a changed life, there are many things in the market tonight. You can go to Alcoholic Anonymous. You can go to Gambling Anonymous. And now you have to go to, in our fair country, they're allowing marijuana free now, or not free, you have to pay for it, I guess, but legalizing it. So now we need Drug Anonymous, I guess. Because the problems are going to increase. And of course, Weight Watchers and all of these things, instead of just being self-disciplined by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's easier to pay out $100 a week to lose a few pounds than to just have a relationship with God. I'm not saying, you know, that that is all sin. You know, I'm not saying, you know, if you want to, but fasting, praying, do a lot of things. People want to change, but have not the power to do it. That's the age we're in. The other year, a man was being sentenced at home for his addiction to whatever problem he had, and he pleaded with the judge, and he said, won't you give me a penitentiary term so that the program there could free me from my addiction? He had such a longing to be free. But where can you turn for freedom tonight, you know, dear people? He thought he would go through the system and that would bring freedom. But I'm sad to say a lot of these places have no answer unless they come to the Word of God. That brings freedom tonight. Indeed, it does. And if it doesn't bring freedom, I'd close my book and go home, or never would have came. Tonight, every preacher, every person can find freedom in Jesus Christ tonight. Indeed. Hallelujah, friends. That is exciting. Indeed, it is. Simon wanted to cash in on what he thought was a program, that if people believed on Jesus Christ and were baptized, then as he prayed over them, he could sap them with the Spirit to live a changed life. And that's not how it works tonight, dear people. It's not how it works. I don't care where you are in the system. The Holy Spirit will change you from within. Even today, if such a program was available, you could retire at a young age from your royalties, I guarantee you. Verse 20, Peter told Simon, you're going to perish, and also the filthy lucre will perish with thee. Dear people, tonight a gift doesn't have to be bought, and in fact cannot be bought. A gift is given without any strings attached. And that is how come, John 3:16, it's a gift to whoever believeth. But that believing means to leave and start living the Christian life. Yes, it does. When a couple sends out their wedding invitations, I haven't seen it yet for myself anyway, that in there it says, bring such a gift, you know, in order to come to the wedding. No. A gift is something that is voluntarily given out of love, whoever it is presented to. And that's what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. He gave a gift. If we want to take it. If we want to believe in it. We had a mailman years ago. And at Christmas time, we always like to give a little, not much, just a little bit of appreciation, some candies my wife made, or cookies, or whatever, in appreciation for that. Of course, he was the fellow that, he had some irresponsibilities in being a mailman. A lot of calls came in and said they weren't happy with him, but, you know, he would come down the road and his whole body was going with the noise, and I could see that life would be dreary with that kind of a noise so close to you. But we gave him some cookies anyway, out of respect. But then he put a note in and said he doesn't want this stuff because he doesn't want to get anything back. We didn't give it to get anything back. He already gave us the service, you know, that was good enough for us. But you know, that's the mentality of a lot of people in churches even. We have to work, we have to work. And don't go home yet. There's work to do, lots of it. But you can't work for your salvation. It's a gift tonight, dear people, through Jesus Christ and in Him alone. There is no other way tonight to come to Him by outside of accepting that gift. Other week in Indiana, there's a girl that, a lady, I should say, and we had breakfast with some other people on a Saturday morning. She said, "You were the roughest fellow I've ever seen. You gave me problems all week." But really? I said, "If I would have known that, I would have pointed the finger right at you then." She was that type of a gal, you know, that she said it straight, and I do too. You know, I said, "Boy, I would have known this. I was so hard on you, I would have picked you out in the whole group yet." You know. She said, "I can't give everything up of my life, because I don't know what the Lord would help me to do then." The other Monday night, I said, "I don't want to come to Pennsylvania or to anywhere in the States in April either." But you know, to let the Lord work in us, to shape and mold us, and He won't give us, put us on a path that we have to go alone then either. No, He wants to go with us. Yeah, He'll provide the way if we say yes, Lord. Absolutely. And that's where we all have to come. We have to come, like the brother mentioned, that devotion. We have to be a contrite spirit, you know. And that, you know, Simon thought the Holy Spirit could be bought with money or works, if you please. And that is not the case when it comes from God. We don't deserve a gift tonight. We can't merit that gift, not indeed. Simon was called to repent and to have the very core of his heart searched and forgiven. Peter said, "You are in bitterness, the very gall of it." And that means the gall when you're butchering. I don't know if any of you butchers are here. But when you, yes, I know one of them, I believe. But the gall on the liver is something that you don't just cut into. You cut around it and you make sure it doesn't spread to the rest of the meat. Otherwise, it contaminates it. It is poison, Peter said to Simon. That's what you've got inside of you. You were baptized and you have the right words to say, but you're filled with bitterness. Maybe there's somebody bitter here tonight. I don't know. Do you have your past forgiven? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you set free? Do you have a hope if Jesus comes tonight that you're ready to go with Him? You know, bitterness, that can't be a part of us, friends, if we want victory in Jesus tonight. Definitely not. Simon wasn't such a mess. He was in bondage. He was enslaved to think that the Christian life would be a religious system that is controlled and bought with money or whatever the method you want to put in there. A true believer will believe in Jesus Christ tonight. He will have left and repented from that old life. Yes, he will be baptized. Yes, he will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to start living the Christian life. Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he him." God placed tonight into the first Adam God's image that would and should portray holiness. That's what he did. And we realize much of modern church Christianity, or should I say whatever, the thought today is that when Adam fell, God's standard was lowered to accommodate a lower image of God. God forbid. No. That is not how it works. God is still the same holy God that formed Adam, and he still wants to lift us up out of the miry clay to a high plateau of being the Christ-like person we should be. Simon's philosophy of Christianity is not much different than in a lot of churches today. You know, we are in it for the social things, and yes, for some there is maybe money in it or whatever. And for many, it is the false, it is the health and wealth gospel that is being preached. You know, if you live right, and then you won't get sick, and of course you'll get your Corvette and your whatever else you want in life. You know, life is good for the Christian. That's not what the gospel is about tonight, dear people. Redemption through Jesus Christ is to restore the godly image again to us, that which was lost through the first Adam. You can search the scriptures, and you will find that personal holiness will be manifested in purity and in righteousness stemming from our salvation. You cannot disassociate right behavior from a right belief in Jesus Christ and the totality of this word tonight. Yes, the term is true tonight. We must believe right if we're going to behave right. It starts by believing. And if we want to behave right, we first have to believe right. When a person is saved, when a person is born again, when a person is redeemed, and yes, God's purpose for this is to restore the divine likeness back to what had been from fallen man. Psalm 24, quickly turn there. Psalm 24, verse 3 to 5, it says, "Who shall ascend onto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands." That's the outside. And then it goes on to the inside, a pure heart. "Who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity or sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Beautiful words. In the Old Testament, the people were called to a holy walk with God. God's purpose in saving man in the Old Testament and the New Testament is to have people that are sanctified, which means called out, separated, people displaying the power and the glory of God to a lost, sinful world. It's not just telling the people on the street that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but it's by showing them as you walk on the street too, that you have been separated unto the holy God. God did not merely save the Israelites from Egypt just so they would be free from their bondage and slavery. Nor did God save them, you know, just for the blessings of the promised land to come. God delivered them in order that they might live on a moral level above all the people that were in the face of the whole earth round about them. God did not call his people out to live like the rest of the surrounding nations. He wanted them separated unto God. And that is still the case today. You're called tonight, dear people, to walk a different life than the world does. God redeemed them from the idolatry from Egypt to then live above the child sacrifices and the rest of the immorality that was prevalent in all those lands. There were over 600 laws given to Israel to keep them from the sins and evil conduct round about them. God wanted them to live a holy life, plus get to the promised land. That's in our transition here. We also want the promised land tonight. But in the meantime, we're called to live a separated life unto God. God wants us to believe to the extent that the past is left behind and we're living separate under God, being assured of the promises that is before us. In 1 John, in 1 John 2, verse 1 to 6. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And praise God for those verses. Because I believe all of us, if you were born again, somewhere since you have transgressed. And is it not wonderful to come to this same Savior and plead for forgiveness and be set free, and it can be washed away, never to be remembered by God, and hopefully not by us either. But some things we'll still remember, but we can be living in peace. We have an advocate with the Father. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And that gives you and me hope tonight. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Do you know him tonight, dear people? Do you know him? Do you love him? He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. You can know tonight. Some people say, well, you can't know if you're saved or not until you come to the end of the road. Friend, you can know tonight whether you have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. You can know whether your sins are forgiven tonight. Yes, indeed. If not, it must be a miserable life. It must be a miserable life. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Again, what does believe mean? To leave and live and walk the Christian life. That's the challenge. Verse 6 here, this verse again confirms if we believed in Jesus Christ and have been saved from the past sins, plus have the promise of heaven, then we are to live presently by the power of the Holy Ghost. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Are you a new creature tonight? We have talked to people who are divorced and remarried, and their testimony is wonderful. You know, I can hardly wait until I go to heaven. Their prayers are more beautiful than I'll ever be able to pray in my stammering tongue. Heaven is all before us. Jesus is everything. He gave me this car, you know. On and on and on. Friends, tonight, are you living it? Are you living the word tonight? If they're not living by the power of the word, they can say the most nicest things about God, about Jesus Christ, about the blood, but believing in him. But friends, if they're living in sin, it's all in vain. The most beautiful words, the most beautiful prayers, all in vain, indeed they are. What have they been saved from? Finally. And that's the question you and I have to ask tonight too. What have you been saved from? Simon believed about Jesus Christ, but not in the Jesus Christ that saves us from a life of sin to a lively walk in Jesus Christ. If God did not save you and me from the evil conduct of the old, unregenerated life, then from what are you saved from? No. I'm not talking to the world out there. I'm talking to us tonight. You have to search your own heart. Anybody that says we can be saved from the consequences of the past sin and from future judgment, still ignoring God's word in relation to a holy life, is not on the way to heaven, dear people. I mean, you all know people, friends, relatives possibly. They're living in sin. And say, well, let's take divorce and remarriage again. You know, they'd say, well, they're right now it's really going good in their life, and that's so beautiful. I would just say, well, Lord, why tamper with it? What does the word say? The word is final. I don't have to judge. That's just in one area tonight. Just in one area. When we have been justified from our past sins, then it distinguishes us from the unbeliever. Yes, it does. Is salvation a free ticket to heaven tonight? Is salvation just to free us from judgment? In the beginning of the New Testament, it was plainly stated that she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Not in their sin. One word makes a big difference. And that's why Jesus came tonight, to save us from our sins. Hallelujah. Friends, that should put a smile on a Christian's face tonight, that he came to save us from our sins, not just to continue floundering on and trying to get another life raft, you know. Now, it's a lot better than that. If they were to be saved from their sins before the cross, how much more should we be saved from our sins after our encounter with Calvary? Salvation through Jesus Christ is salvation from sin and from the practice of sin and from the partaking of the pollutions of sin all around us. You know, it's here too. People talk about climate change. You know, that covers it now. For a while it was the Ice Age, greenhouse effect, and smog, of course, the ozone layer. You go on and on and on and on. People are concerned about these things. And tonight, most of the environment, the natural environment about us, would get better once the heart has been made pollution-free. We had, in our local area at home, we had people come in the other Saturday. They were animal rights or whatever, and they came on this dairy farm, and they walked in, and there were some dead twin calves laying there that were just born. They had to have a service around these dead calves, and they took one along yet for a decent burial, and on and on and on, until they finally had to get the police and to finally get them off the property. I guarantee you, if I would have talked with those ladies that were along, they would have had no problem with abortion. Lord, help us. Lord, help us tonight as we see our nation and our churches going away from God. There's judgment coming for that. Yes, there is. People are concerned about all these things. People walk up to you in the street and they're dressed like they should be on the beach. In fact, years ago, they would have been fined for being on the beach, like they walk around on the street in the way, shortly anyway, again, in the summer. That's right. It was not allowed on your main beaches to be dressed so immodestly. But get this. You can talk to them about the Lord, and they will say wonderful things that God is doing. Yeah. This is not just out there in the world. This is upon people that profess to be Christians tonight, dear people. Their testimony is radiant, but they dress like the world. People may do their Sunday shopping. People may start trucking on Sunday and whatever. You know, when the world allows it, the church usually does too. Down the road. We have friends at home. Dear friends, they're gone now. Their grandson. Sunday, the trucks are rolling now. And Sunday, cattle trucks and so forth. This would grieve the grandfather to no end. You know. But things change. You know, you have to get your cattle from here to there. And I realize there's a thin line there, but there's also a big line of what could be done if you really love the Word of God. The Holy Ghost power cannot be bought or kept with money or any business approach, but is divinely given as people walk in obedience with the Word of God. You may say tonight it's works. You may say it's traditions, whatever else. Tonight, the Word of God clearly teaches a separation between holiness and worldliness. 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I will receive you. And friends, that's the promise I want for myself, and that's the promise I hope that each one of you claims tonight, that he said, I will receive you. I'm walking with you. And according to the word of God, it means that the whole area of living, your speech, your actions, your dress, your stewardship, all is affected by believing, leading, and living. That's where it boils down to. Unless we are willing to be sanctified enough to be different from the world, the Lord will not receive us. It is one thing for me to profess that I have received him, but has he received me? No. We can do a lot of nice talk. But does the Lord know you tonight? Does he know what's ticking in your heart? Yes, he does. He knows all that. No person who has a heart and a life, who has a heart and a life that is living in sin, has a right to expect God to receive them. Salvation does not bypass this present evil world. And I fear in this present age, much of Christianity is succumbing and conforming to the standards of the world. In Galatians 1:4, the word says there, it's the keynote to the Galatians, and it speaks of a rescue and of a great deliverer. Jesus Christ, our great conqueror, a mighty deliverer from the power, from the social and moral practices of what? Of this present evil world. And that means we can be rescued, we can be set free from the present evil world, though it's all around us and it's bombarding us. And we have to say, Lord, again and again, you know, Lord, just give me a clean mind. Just give me a clear vision of who you are. Yeah, I need that. We all need that tonight, if we're honest. Have we been received? Then we also are rescued. Put on the new man. In Ephesians 2:4, it speaks like that. Inwardly, God has made us a new creation, a new image. We are to be outwardly in practice of what has taken place inwardly with our decision in Christ. Has something changed on the outside because of what has changed within? The born-again person, it changes first within. It's not bought with money or silver or gold, but it's by believing in Jesus Christ, by repenting of our sins, seeing we were lost. The best Mennonite is still lost tonight without Jesus Christ. But praise God, we can be set free, we can be washed. And whatever your profession is, whatever, we can come to a God, the King of Kings, who is interested in taking your soul through this evil world to come out right in the end, to be with them. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we thank you who you are and what you've done through Jesus Christ. Thank you for that wonderful gift. Lord, all eternity, I don't think my stammering tongue would be able to give enough praise for redeeming such a vile person from hell and giving me hope in a very dismal world, but giving me hope of going through this life and then to hear that blessed call, come home. Lord, we pray, should there be somebody here that has not known you as their Lord and Savior, that tonight you would speak to such a one. And tonight we pray, should others be here that have been burdened down with the same bitterness that Simon was in, or the same thought that works will just get them a little bit further into the kingdom. Works will follow. Believing in you, Lord, means we'll leave the past and we'll live in you and through you more and more to become Christ-like. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.